Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I'm with the great Greg Biggins, national recruiting analyst, 24/7 Sports. He's got a big track meet today. How is it when your kid is competing versus when you're watching other people's kids compete?
Dude, way nervous. Like, super nervous. And it's just like JUCO track. But it didn't matter if it was, you know, JUCO or when he was, you know, playing, you know, club soccer when he was like 7 years old. I'm the guy who's pacing. I don't ever sit in one spot. I already kind of have that, you know, that little ADD kicks in for me. And yeah. I just do laps around the field and just kind of just get my nervous energy out of the way. So when I'm watching someone else's kid, I'm cool, calm, and collected, but not my own.
Isn't it interesting? Cause I, you know, when my kids played volleyball and she was, I never had an illusion that she was like a D1 scholarship player, but I knew that at like age 12. I said, hey, she's just in this for high school. And I felt like other parents maybe didn't have that perspective. Did you have that healthy perspective? Because this is what you do. You watch kids and you evaluate them.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, the thing was, so when he was really young, he was kind of like, you know, an elite soccer guy playing a couple of years. You know, he was the guy who first game he scored 7 goals. His first football game, he had like 6 touchdowns. So I knew, though, right? I mean, I had perspective from knowing what how important a great gene pool is. Mm-hmm. You know that, hey, he's probably going to be a little bit limited. But he was really good early on and then just kind of lost it in high school, just burnout kind of set in. And the funny thing, not to get off track, I know we're talking Oregon football, but he never did track in his life. He did soccer year round in high school. And then he did it as a senior just because he wanted something to do. And like, he just fell in love with it. And so now he's doing that. It's fun for him and all that. So, you know, my whole thing was just whatever you're going to do, just have fun with it and do the best you can. And, you know, don't expect to make a living off of it professionally, but no, 100%. I see some moms and dads, moms, even not just the dads, moms are, they're thinking about a paycheck when they're like 4 years old. And they're kind of going, hey, kind of settle down a little bit, back off a little bit, make it fun for your kids still. So, yeah.
It's interesting because we had a little debate on Twitter the other day about multi-sport athletes, and we get a lot of coaches that talk out both sides of their mouth. They say, hey, I want a well-rounded kid, but they want that kid year-round in the weight room and doing their program, and it becomes difficult for kids, you know, to not specialize. What do you say as a guy who's in that evaluation world? You see football players who run track, who play other sports, basketball, baseball. What do you tell parents when they say, hey, should my kid be playing multiple things?
I say yes with like 18 exclamation points. I'm a huge capital H-U-G, huge fan of multi-sport athletes. And, you know, I think if you're end game, and again, you know, I'll be, you know, Simon Cowell from American Idol, I'll be very direct and I'll say, hey, if you want me to give you an honest opinion on your kid, I will give that to you. Chances are he won't make it to the NFL. But if he does, if that's the end game, the NFL draft has shown that it's the multi-sport athletes that get there. It's even quarterbacks. You know, we're seeing a lot of the great quarterbacks were guys who were multi-sport athletes. So I tell everybody, you should be running track. You should be wrestling. You should be playing basketball, volleyball. Don't just do football, not just physically. I think it's huge, has huge physical benefits by being a multi-sport guy. You learn, and I was a kinesiology major, so I kind of know how the body works, and I love that stuff. I think it's so good for you to be a well-rounded guy. You learn different types of coordination and balance and whatnot, but just more, even more so mentally. I think you get your head away from your primary sport and just have fun doing something else so that when you do go back to your main sport, whether that's you know, football, or if your main sport's basketball or whatever your main sport is, do something else that when you do go back to your main sport, it's fun and it's fresh and you're not burnt out. And you kind of miss it. Give yourself a chance to miss your favorite sport. And I think that's why, you know, no matter what level or how good you are, man, even if you're a big 7-on-7 guy, I tell everybody, I get it out here in SoCal, 7-on-7 is like becoming almost like a spring sport for these all-stars. And I'm like, hey, that's fine if you want to do that, but you should also run track. You should also be doing this. There's so many benefits by doing something else other than just your main sport, which I know, you know, for the most part, we're talking about football. So, huge fan of multi-sport athletes.
Greg Biggins with us, national recruiting analyst, 24/7 Sports. Oregon, let's start with Oregon in the Pac-12. After the dust settles from this signing period, Mario Cristobal has some big dudes coming to campus.
He does. How many times have we talked about, how Mario gets it? And, ironically, Antonio Pierce, who's at ASU, who I've known forever, he actually, I don't know if he tweeted it or someone else tweeted a quote from him, but he said, hey, in 21 and 22, we're going back east and we're going for linemen. And Mario kind of understood that a few years ago. And I got some pushback from some of the local high school and some of the local, O-line coaches when I said, hey, it's becoming pretty clear that if you want to have guys in the trenches that are going to be elite and that you can compete at a high level for, you have to leave the West Coast. And I had some people say, what are you talking about? We have great this and we have great that. And again, I wasn't trying to insult anybody. And everyone in Southern California always feels like, you know, we have the best of everything. I'm like, no, you don't. I go, look at, you know, the All-American teams. Look at the NFL draft. I go, that's the end game. How many guys do you see O-line D tackles from Southern California? Wyatt Davis at Ohio State, okay. He's tremendous. Penei Sewell from Utah, absolutely. But for every one of those guys back east or in the south, there's 20 of them. And not as good as Penei or Wyatt Davis, but there's 20 guys that are similar. Whereas out here, we have one or two. And so I think Cristobal, the whole idea of going national to recruit linemen is huge. And he was ahead of the game. He understood it. He understood the value of having to recruit outside your region for those big O-line and D-line. And yeah, he's got some dudes. I like their class a lot. I like their skill. I like the quarterbacks. Obviously I love the linebackers, but you got to win in the trenches and he's got some really good football players for sure.
I saw you tweeted out Miller Moss, a Southern California kid that had received an offer from Oregon. He's not in this last recruiting window, but he's somebody Oregon would like to bring to campus in the future. He'll make a decision in the spring, probably. What kind of player is he? Because I'm trying to get a sense of what kind of player Mario Cristobal wants at quarterback. What's Miller Moss about?
He's really good. He was the MVP at our, at the recent Under Armour All-American Combine, which was this past Sunday. 6'1"-ish. He's not a guy who's going to blow you away with a big arm. If I was, to kind of give you an NFL comp, it'd probably be like a Drew Brees type because he relies more on just being, super functional, extremely smart, anticipation, throwing on time and in rhythm, high football IQ. He's one of those guys where, I talked to his quarterback coach and he said he's probably the guy who's closest to like a Bryce Young in terms of get him on the chalkboard and you're drawing up different things and he gets it. He's super quick. He's smart. Great kid. He's a leader. Not a high level athlete. So probably the two things that you would love to see him improve upon would probably just, that escapability, that ability to make a guy miss and then maybe buy some time outside the pocket. But, again, he's got everything else that you're looking for. And, right now it's kind of weird to say. I think Oregon might have been a little bit later with that offer. Usually they're first when it comes to offers. But he's going to probably commit next month. So right now he's already pretty invested in UCLA, USC, Cal, and then the Stanford offers. That's where his mom went to school. They'll be really hard to beat, too. But if I were to kind of ballpark it right now, I think maybe SC, UCLA, even though SC already has a quarterback, I think those two schools might be the two to beat. But, Oregon is going to try to get a visit out of him. And, they've always had a lot of success getting kids from his 7-on-7 program, which is called Premium. Like half their DB and receivers came from that program, and Miller's the quarterback for that 7-on-7 team. So we'll see if they can get a trip. But he's a high-quality quarterback, probably a top-5 quarterback nationally for me.
We watched Mel Tucker leave Colorado and a lot of fretting about the Pac-12. What did you see in the last recruiting cycle? Should the Pac-12 – are you seeing it in recruiting? Because we see it with the with the finances, and we're seeing it with the playoff. They're not making the playoff three straight years. But are you seeing it in recruiting that the Pac-12 is in trouble?
Yeah, whether it's true or not, I think a lot of people kind of base the Pac-12 on how USC does, right? If you see a strong USC on the football field, then people will think, hey, the conference is good. And if you see a weak down SC, then they think, oh, the conference is bad. So, you know, not everybody had down recruiting classes. Obviously, I think Oregon, Washington, Stanford, I think all finished in the top 25. UCLA kind of rallied and finished right outside the top 30. I think ASU was in the top 30. Now, you know, we didn't have SC in the top 5, top 10, where they normally are. In fact, we had SC, I think, finished 10th overall. But, you know, overall, I think the conference did pretty good, at least the top, you know, four or five schools all finished in the top 30. But we didn't have, you know, multiple schools like we do in the SEC. We didn't have multiple schools in the top 5, top 10. I mean, look at the top 10 rankings in, you know, Florida, Auburn, LSU, Bama, Georgia. All those schools were in the top 10. Clemson was also in there as well. So I think, you know, did the SEC clean up? Absolutely. Did the Pac-12 kind of have a horrible year? Not a horrible year. I think, again, I think a lot of it stems from USC having a bad year. But, you know, there's about five schools I actually thought all did pretty well.
In Oregon State, you know, even though the class itself doesn't blow people away, I look at what Jonathan Smith has done in the portal, and I go, you know, this is the best overall class that he's got, the most talent I've seen come into Oregon State in some time. So I think Oregon State fans have to feel good about that. Biggins, get to that track meet. I appreciate you making time for us, man. What event? What's the first event?
First event is the 4x1 relay, and then 100, the 200, and the 4x4 relay. So.
All right, good luck.
Long day. The first event and the last event are the 4x1 and the 4x4, so I'm going to be there for 5 hours.
All right. Don't run alongside the track when he's running. Just holler and let him know you're there.
He hates that. I'm just going to sit as a parent. I'm just going to sit there and eat some sunflower seed. That's my stress reliever right now.
So. I love it. All right.
All right, man. Always good talking.
All right, you too, buddy. It's Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports. I want you to leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. Coming up, a growing feud between two Pac-12 schools gets a little fuel. Also, later in the show, we're going to talk about hair. Because Harrison Barnes is saying he won't cut his hair until his team reaches 500. And if Harrison Barnes weren't playing for the Sacramento Kings, I wouldn't be that interested in this story. But the Kings are 11 games under 500. I think Harrison Barnes might be looking like Julius Erving circa ABA basketball days by the end of the season. Keep an eye on that. That, of course, brings us to our big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be. The Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, it's Damian Lillard out of the NBA All-Star Game in the three-point contest. Lillard said it's disappointing that he won't be part of the event, but he's got to put his health first.
I mean, obviously that's, you know, something that you look forward to, those festivities and having fun, but my health is first, and I mean, I knew right away like that wasn't going to happen, so I'll still be there and be a part of it, but I'm not going to be able to play, so hopefully somebody who should have been there that, you know, didn't make it, but, you know, unfortunately I had to be the fall guy, but hopefully, you know, Devin Booker or somebody like that will get the spot.
Devin Booker got the spot. Lillard injured his groin last night and the Blazers lost to the Grizzlies. Keep an eye on that. Look, I've been worried all along about the miles put on Lillard, the minutes he's playing. We've been talking about it on this show. I don't want to be that guy, but last night as I saw Lillard come down the court and drive into the paint and go up for a layup, I was like, that's kind of an old guy move there. Little groin injury. He hobbled up the court, left the game. Now he's out of the All-Star game. That's the big splash. Coming up, Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around. We'll go to the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and back again. Plus, Nick Daschle of the Oregonian will be along as there's a spat forming between Arizona State and Oregon State over the...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.